My company, we had meetings that started the last Monday in New York City, so I went in on Saturday, so I've been in New York City for 8 days. And let me tell you, I've never been to New York in July, August. It's terrible. You walk outside after you took your lovely, nice, cool shower, and you're all, you know, in your nice new clean clothes, and in 10 minutes you want to run back to the shower and ditch those clothes because you're sticky and they're all wet. It's terrible. No fun. And I kept thinking, you know what? Praise the Lord for dry heat. I know we shouldn't sometimes, you know, in our minds think that we can't experience other things, but if I had a preference, it would be the dry desert. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you ever been to a very humid environment? No fun. Well, this morning we're going to look, if you prepare your Bible, for Psalm 86. And it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. I've been trying to fit in some vacation time mixed with some work stuff that never seems to end, and trying to get in my own time too. You know, sometimes that's not easy to do. Amen. But little by little it's been happening. But I would say, before I flew out to New York, we're meeting with all of the leaders around the country, everyone from California to New York, all the regions, Florida, Texas, Seattle, on and on and on. All the boutique directors are getting together. And my wife was telling the kids what we were going to do, like everyone's getting together. And I thought it was so funny because the kids said they said in general, oh, that'll be a nice trip. Everybody likes Dad. But you know what they don't know? That's not totally true. Not everybody likes Dad. When I go to these meetings, some people are friendlier than others. Some are like, oh, great to see you. And some just walk right past you like you didn't exist. There's always a different vibe, right? It's not like everybody likes Dad. But sometimes in life and in business or in our relationships, sometimes even in God's church, we might feel as though we have folks that are not 100% those who like us. But you know what? The biggest enemy is the devil, amen? He is the ultimate one that doesn't like us, and that's probably what caused chaos for Jan and I to get out of New York yesterday. I'm going to call it the devil. Now, you might think it's funny, but I'm going to tell you something that happened. So I was out there 8 days, and Jana joined me at the halfway mark because she had her birthday on August 1st, so I brought her in on the 31st. And then she was using my room that the company had for us. And we were having a wonderful time. There was no issues getting to New York. Easy, smooth flights, the whole deal. She had a great flight. I had a great flight. Settled into a nice room 2 blocks from Central Park. And it was really spectacular. What went wrong was the second day before we left, meetings were all over, we looked for a really great coffee house. This is when I think the chaos began. The coffee house had a 4.5 rating on Yelp. That's pretty high. It doesn't get much higher than that unless you can pull off a 5.0. And it was called Central Grounds or Ground Central. One of the two. I'll call it Ground Central. Really close to our hotel. By the way, because it was her birthday, they got us the 65th floor, which was the top floor of this building. And we were literally overlooking almost every building in Times Square right down below. And you can see the Freedom Tower at the tip of Manhattan. It was spectacular. Good job, honey. I hope you tipped them. Oh, no, wait a minute. I tipped them. Never mind. So we find Ground Central, and we go in. We order our coffees. This is our free day. We order our coffees, and we sit next to this wall. It has a bunch of paintings, but I didn't even pay attention to it. Whatever, you know, these kids that are running the place put all these inspirational things all over the wall and they're painting. The latte was spectacular. I mean, it was phenomenal. The girl's like, you know what, I want to make you what I like. I do a little bit of oat milk, and I also mix in a little bit of almond milk, and then I put in the sugar-free vanilla, and then I'm going to whip it this way and that way. And then she tried it, and she's like, ooh, this is really, really good. But then, as we're sitting next to each other, right next to the wall, because, you know, in New York, everything's a little bit small, we kind of back up and look. What is this that's painted next to us? Guess who it is? It's the devil. And he's roasting beans with his pitchfork. So here's the devil, and he's like roasting beans, and he's on the wall, and that was the painting. And then I said to her, that's why this latte is so good. It's just like the devil to make something so amazing and tempting, and it's him roasting the beans. So after that, we were getting ready to call our car. We were getting ready to call our car and head to Newark Airport. Canceled. The fun begins. They have no alternative for us. We're stuck in New York. So then we cancel that car to Newark, and we rearrange different flights. She gets to LaGuardia and the Bronx. So in one moment, we're in Newark. The next moment, we're in the Bronx, and all I could find is a flight out of Queens. And I'm at JFK, so Jen and I had to split up. And I'm thinking, this awesome trip just went crazy, and it started once we went to the Devil's Roasters. And I was thinking, we do have an enemy, and we just need to pray. Thank you so much for your prayers, Vanette, and everybody else, if you had heard. But we were trapped, and poor Jana had to sleep in Houston Airport early this morning. She couldn't get out. Her flight arrived at 10, finally, and she couldn't get out till like 5:30 in the morning. So here she is sleeping in Houston. I'm back in our beautiful condo because I made it out. And I'm thinking, I feel a little bit guilty. My wife's trapped at an airport. You got to be kidding me. But you know what? When these challenges hit, I'll tell you, and that's why I put here, prayer acts of warfare, A-C-T-S, prayer acts of warfare. Let's hear what David has to say during this time. Psalm 86, I'm going to read it to you here. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Doesn't that sound like us, hon? Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. And I'm running out of socks in New York City. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of my trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Hallelujah. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. The arrogant are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, men without regard for you. But you, O Lord, are compassionate and a gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and have comforted me. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for being the God that saves and hears and acts and comes to the rescue for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You might not think you need to be rescued, but I bet you do. Does that ever sound true? Sometimes we think, no, I have it all together. Oh, that used to be my arrogance. I got it all. I'm good. I'm smart. I read books. I have an education, blah, blah, blah. I'm good. But you know what? I still needed to be rescued. Hallelujah. And thank God there is a God that doesn't give up on us. Amen. And He does the rescuing. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning as we consider this psalm, the psalm in this one, David has a way of conveying elements of what? Prayer. Who here can say, my prayer life rocks? I made it. Not always easy, is it? Not always easy. You know what I did yesterday when they canceled our flight? I went into panic mode. I didn't start praying right away. The devil's staring at me next to me, roasting coffee beans, and I'm just like diving deeper into panic mode. And I kept telling Jana, I can't get into panic mode. We have to come up with a solution. Why wasn't my first solution reach out to the God that saves? Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? But I tell you, David has a way. He conveys four themes, and that's what I want you to take today. ACTS, acts of warfare. And we can learn to incorporate these elements into our prayer and begin kicking the devil out of our homes, off of our families, out of our lives, the temptation that comes against us. Amen. Have you had any temptation this week? I guarantee you it wasn't from the Lord. The other day, I was talking to someone at Kylie just went to camp. She went to summer camp, Christian summer camp in the mountains, and I was talking to someone about this, and I was telling them, it's so interesting how sometimes in life, if things go too smooth, it makes you wonder why everything is so smooth. When things get a little bit rough, it makes me think, maybe the devil has me in the crosshairs right now. So I tell myself sometimes, you know what? Whenever we face challenges, praise God, we have a God that saves us. Amen. When things are too smooth, I don't know. I'm a little suspicious. But I have to say, I'm going to worship God in both seasons. Amen. I'm going to reach out to Him in both seasons. In fact, sometimes, like when Kylie just went to summer camp, you go, the blessings, the miracles, the prayer, the worship, the connecting with people, then what? You come back to your life and you hope that you can keep the fire going. Amen. Have you ever had a candle go out? I just bought an overpriced candle from The Wind. This little dinky thing was probably that big, and it costs like $40. You got to be kidding me. Little tiny thing. It's called Diptyque, something from France, and everyone at work likes them, and I picked one up. But let me tell you, that little thing dissipated so fast. And you know what? In God's kingdom, we want candles that keep going, amen? Not dissipating in a couple days. Gone, poof, gone. But I'll tell you one thing, we want Jesus in our daily life and we need to pray to Him in our daily life. But I'll tell you, sometimes the enemy comes against us strong, doesn't he? Does that ever happen to you? Does he come against you strongly? You might not even recognize it because you're just so used to it, thinking, oh, that's just what happens in my life. I guarantee you sometimes in life, it's just like Paul said, things spiritual happen. And our fight and our struggle might be spiritual. So, one time I'll remember when we had our kids that were little. I remember one time I came home, everyone was asleep, and I just felt like something was off. Have you ever had that kind of vibe? I just felt like something was not right in the house. I walked in the door, and I thought, something oppressive feels like it's in my home. And then when I went and I sat down, and you know everybody's asleep upstairs, and I went and I sat down, and I remember the kids had all these toys when they were that young. And lo and behold, as I'm sitting there, and I'm still thinking, what is off? Something is not right. And you know, get that little feeling and your hair starts sticking up on your arm. Would you believe my daughter's she had this little electronic Winnie the Pooh. It started talking without anybody interacting with it. And that's when I thought, oh my goodness. I knew something was wrong. All of a sudden, it was like, ooh, do you have any honey? And I thought, oh my goodness, that is frightening. So you know what I decided to do? I decided to start worshiping God in my home. Because I always assume where the worship of God is and the invitation of God's Spirit, the devil will flee. Amen? Why? It's just like certain types of music. Is there certain types of music you don't like? What would you do if you hear that type of music? You're like, okay, I'm going to get out of here. Well, let me tell you, when you begin to pray and worship the Lord, the devil will flee. Winnie the Pooh will stop talking. That's a true story, by the way. I shouldn't say too much. Kids in the room, I'm not trying to freak you out, but I'll just tell you, I knew something was really weird that day, but I'll tell you, praise and worship is what we need to do. So first thing this morning I wanted to mention is this, a prayer of adoration to the Lord, that's what we should be starting with. I just wrote this down because I began to think acts of worship, A-C-T-S, a prayer of adoration. We should pray to him and tell him that we love him. Adoration, it comes from a word named adoratonem, which means to worship the Lord. And that, more and more, will mean more to you as we get closer towards Christmas and really understanding what it means to have baby Jesus in the world. Amen. We learn to adore the Savior. Hallelujah. To adore someone is to make that person deeply precious to you. Would you like to know what my wife just did in our new car on the way here? I adore her, so I gave her a lot of grace. We just bought this little used BMW that we have out in the front from a friend of ours. And she says, I'm not going to do anything to spill in your car. I'm not going to mess it up, blah, 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 blah. And then this morning, she came out to get in the car with this bagel. And it has all this monster cream cheese and onions and poppy seeds everywhere. And she said, I can't believe I'm getting in your car with this. Do you trust me to be in your car with this bagel? And you know what I said? Nothing. And then, lo and behold, it happens. Poof! There goes the cream cheese. I saw you licking it off of the seat belt. She's trying to fix the seat belt. Poppy seeds everywhere. And she said to me, you know what? You're taking this really, really good. She forgets I've been a dad for 18 years. I've been through it all. But you know what? I gave her so much grace, and she could say, hey, you're taking this really well, is I deeply find her valuable in my life. Isn't that what we're to do? We are to adore. We are to preciously adore people, just like we adore Christ Jesus, the most valuable. And, hun, I'm glad that happened with you, because it teaches me you just have to be ready for all of life's curveballs, amen? You just have to be ready. In our prayers, it's always good to begin our prayers by bringing adoration to the Lord. In adoring God, we acknowledge who He is. He's the God of Chipotle. You go try to find any other planet in this universe that has delicious, crisp romaine lettuce, black beans, brown beans, green peppers, onions, salsa, white rice, brown rice. Go try to find that anywhere else. That is how much the Lord loves us. Can you believe that? The God that brings such goodness into our lives, even something as simple as that. You go try to make a black bean on your own. You'll never pull it off. You go try. That delicious cheese. Okay, I'm stopping. But I'll just tell you, this is how much the Lord loves us. There would be no Chipotle without the Lord. Do you realize that? They'd have no start. They'd have no beginning. They can only serve His bounty to you and overprice charge you for that. But He already did it. David states, among the gods there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations that you have made will come and worship before you. O Lord, they will bring glory to your name. That's adoration. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and you do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Jenna was all alone in the Houston airport early this morning from like 11 to 5 in the morning, pretty much alone. And she said, it's really eerie to be in this place all by myself. But guess what? Some humans finally showed up, and guess where they sat? Right next to her. And she said, I can't believe this. This whole place is empty, and they come sit right next to me. And I'm just trying to sleep. And I was thinking to myself, birds of a feather flock together. Have you ever been in a parking spot and someone goes right next to you and everything else is available? And you're like, what? I parked away from everybody. But I tell you one thing. When you are alone, and that's what it says, you alone, he's telling the Lord, our God. There's no one else. There's only one God, hallelujah. No one else present but him. And may we have his presence in a greater way. That's adoration. David is the king of praying prayers of adoration. I will praise you with all of my heart, he says. I will glorify your name, not just today, not just tomorrow, but forever. And you know, sometimes when you pray a prayer of adoration, you start feeling strengthened. You start feeling focused. Do you ever lose focus? Anybody here lose focus quick? When you pray a prayer of adoration, your focus is laser-centered. Hallelujah. David's prayer. But sometimes people think, you know what, I really don't know how to pray. I really don't know how. Have you ever been there? I don't know how to pray. I don't do it enough. I don't have enough practice. When I was at my meetings, there were so many things that I felt I didn't know much about, so I kind of kept my quiet. I thought, I'm just going to soak it all in so then I can process it to know how to do it better. But I'll tell you one thing. With adoring the Lord, all you have to do is open your mouth and tell Him who He is. You are great. You do miracles so great. You've been so good over my family. Your hand has been steadfast. You are the God that saves. Tell Him what you think about Him. That's adoring Him. Amen? Our second one is this. Pray a prayer of confession to God. Ooh, that is a good one. Do you ever confess? Do you ever confess not only to the Lord, but maybe to someone in your life? I'll never forget, I used to have so many hidden sins. And I tell you, back in the day when I first met Pastor Dave and his brother, Pastor John, I used to think, I want to tell them so bad, but if I do, I just want to just curl up and pass away. It's so embarrassing. Have you ever been there? I would love to be honest about my sin, but it's so embarrassing, I just can't even get it out there. But guess what? The Lord finally told me, just speak it out. But you know what was amazing about that? The day that I told Pastor Dave and Pastor John the sin that I was just having such a struggle with, as soon as I spoke it out, guess what? That was the first day of the last day of that sin. That was the first step of finally saying, one day I will be free from this sin and it will be way behind me in Jesus' name. Acts of confession. Then guess what? One day when that sin came to tempt me again, guess who was victorious? Me. And I couldn't even believe it. I had to wake myself up. Did I just avoid that whole thing? You got to be kidding me. Yes, I did. And I did it because I have a God that saves in my heart and in my life. Confession is something all of us need to remember more and more to enter into. Hallelujah. God's word tells us to confess our sins to one another. Is that hard for you to do? Well, one time, just be bold and try it. And God knows that we confess, and that is the beginning of what? Change. And not only change, but eventual victory. That's the God we serve. In our prayer, when we offer up confession to God, what's really happening is we're offering up our life transparent. And sometimes we're people of secrets, aren't we? Aren't we? It's always the secrets that will shock you. Years ago, I remember Pastor Dave telling me, brother, thicken your skin or you're going to be knocked out by everything that shocks you. And I remember I had to thicken my skin. It was true. But I'll tell you one thing. Transparency. You know when you put a light on your skin and you can kind of see the light going through? Remember when you're kids and you can kind of see your bones? That's a type of transparency. But sometimes in life, there are things that are not transparent. We call them opaque. In the gem world, since I did all my training in gemology, some stones are opaque. And guess who has a hard time identifying stones in gemology that are opaque? Me. I have such a hard time identifying stones. They can give me any color stone, and I'm the one that's supposed to figure out what it is. But because I can't see through it, I can't really tell. But you know what's so crazy? Did you know that diamonds can be black? Have you ever heard of a black diamond? Would you like to know what makes up a black diamond? Anybody want to guess? So many inclusions that they took over the entire carbon crystal almost, because that's what a diamond is carbon. So many inclusions that it just completely turned the diamond black. But the crazy thing is, if you put a light source on a black diamond, the light finds its way through all the inclusions and you see all of the pathways. The reason I mention this today is, truly, we are not to be people that hold secrets. We are the ones that need to shine, amen? and shine a light on sin and confess them to the Lord and say, Lord, I want this to be the first day of the last day of this sin. Hallelujah. In humility, in humbleness, we confess to the Lord what? That we're flawed. Is everybody here flawed? We are flawed. But I handled this morning pretty good, huh, babe? I am going to go check to see how many seeds you missed, though. Like, okay. She's like, I think I got them all. And I thought, there was a million of them. Are you sure? In humility, we confess to the Lord that we're flawed. We need a Savior. We need forgiveness. And also, He is a God that's anxious to forgive. We forget that, don't we? It's not like He's like, meh, if you ask for forgiveness, I might show up. He's anxious to forgive. How awesome is that? And not only that, in a prayer of confession, the cleansing begins. We love to be people that are clean. We wear our sins sometimes like dirt on our hands. The other day at the meetings in New York, I accidentally got a marker on my hand and I thought, oh no, that's a permanent marker. I wonder if it's going to come off. So then we had to wait for our next break, and I went to wash it off to see if this thing is actually going to come off or I'm just going to have a black streak on my hand forever. Or the other day, my daughter's favorite place in the world to eat, Baja Fresh. Anybody? Anybody? Baja Fresh? Boom. I got salsa on my work shirt because I met her after work. And you know what I thought to myself? Tide Pen. What a great invention. Tide Pen as soon as I get home. And isn't that just like the Lord? So quick, eager, ready to be that cleansing element in our life and say, no, what is so dirtied, I want to make clean. What is so faltered, I want to make better. Hallelujah. That's the Lord we have. And this is exactly what we see. David, throughout his psalm, he confesses it this way. Lord, I am poor. Have mercy on me, he says. Have mercy on me. I call to you in the day of my trouble. My heart has been divided. Help me learn to fear you in the right way. Honest confessions lead to revelation, hallelujah, that God, He's the God who's helped us and comforted us. Amen. Talking about comfort, guess who got first class on the way to New York? This one. So even though she had a hard time getting home, I had enough points to bring her on our JetBlue with her own little pod that goes down to a bed. And don't even tell me what you got, because it's going to be amazing. You get service the whole way. But you know what, truly, when we serve the Lord, I have to tell you, He is the God that rolls out the red carpet. He is the God that rolls out forgiveness, victory, love, acceptance. Praise the Lord. He is the ultimate first class service, amen? With a ticket that leads right to heaven, hallelujah. Found in His heaven, hallelujah. Written in the Lamb's Book of Life, our names might be found. That's the best list to be on, amen? Her name was on the mint service list for JetBlue, but you know what's even better than that? Being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. An inheritance in heaven. Our third point is this. Pray a prayer of thanksgiving to God. And that means when you give thanksgiving, you're giving thanks. And you need to give thanks consistently. Hallelujah. It's a great time to consider thanksgiving too, because we should be thankful people. Amen. Because He is the God that really has the mighty hand to deliver us. How many people will say, I have been delivered by the Lord in my life at some point? I have been delivered by the Lord. He is the God we give thanks to. He is the one. We remember His goodness. We remember His grace. We remember all the good stuff. So what did we do for Jana's birthday? She's a vegetarian. Guess where I took her? Quality Meats. One block away from Central Park. Amazing, just absolute stunning restaurant. And it was actually lower priced compared to the Wynn Hotel, which really surprised me. But I thought to myself, you know what? It's her birthday dinner. And I thought to myself, they have amazing sides. So you order a filet mignon, but then you can order all the sides that go with it. And I thought, if anything, my vegetarian is going to love Quality Meats for the sides. So let me tell you about quality meats and the sides. I ordered this gorgeous filet mignon. It was huge. It must have been about 12 ounces. And I order it medium. I didn't get it medium rare because I knew she would probably have a couple little bites, but I won't tell you that. But I ordered this beautiful filet mignon, and then she ordered four different sides. This gorgeous spinach. It's like a cream spinach, but it's in its own little pastry. So it's like you have this gorgeous little spinach pie with this gorgeous fluffy pastry. And then she had the gnocchi. Anybody ever had gnocchi? It's like a potato pasta that has this panko-crusted Parmesan top that you have to break through to get to the gnocchi. Then she ordered it was like a caramelized creme brulee corn. So all the beautiful creamed corn is below this beautiful like layer of, what would you call it? They flame up the sugar so it makes like a crust. And the last one, I won't forget, chived whipped mashed potatoes. She was having a blast with sides. But before we touched any of it, we gave thanks to the God that makes those type of nights possible. A wife and a birthday and food and beautiful times together, great conversations. We give thanks. We take it first and foremost to the Lord that makes it all possible. Amen. Every breath I take, I get to breathe His air. Every time I see a tree in Central Park, when we looked out over the offices and I see a gazillion trees, I thank Him for the trees that He put on this planet to be planted there. I look at the beautiful sky and I think, what a great God we have. Amen. I even went to the 9/11 memorial where so many people lost their lives, and I still give thanks to a God that saves people. There are stories of salvation even in the midst of that graveyard that was 9/11 that day. There are stories of salvation. No matter where we are, we give thanks to God for what He has done, what He's currently doing, and what He will do. Amen? And I have to tell you that we need to focus off of me and focus on the He. Amen. That's what we need to do. But David says it this way, you are abounding in love to all who call to you. You're abounding in love. And when I'm in trouble, you will answer me. No deeds compare with yours, and yours are marvelous. Your love is great towards me, and you deliver me from the depths. You are compassionate and gracious. This is how David speaks of Him. Truly a God who saves, helps, comforts, is worthy of thanksgiving. I like languages. Anybody here talented with languages? In the Romance family language, three of the big ones, there's five total, but I'll say three of the biggest in Romance family language, French, Spanish, and Italian. I studied Italian and Spanish. But now that I work at Chanel, I hear a lot of French. So I try to sometimes listen to words that have commonality. So how do we say thank you in Spanish? Gracias. How do they say it in Italy? Grazie. How do they say it in French? The oddball? Merci. What? How did that happen? How in the world did that happen? The color red, Spanish, rojo. Red in Italian, rosso. Red in French, rouge. Okay, those all three kind of flow together. But how in the world did the French get merci from gracias and grazie? That's wild. So I decided to dig a little bit. What is going on with merci? It comes from an old French word of merci, which means reward, kindness, gift, grace, and pity. Reward, kindness, gift, grace, pity. It's where English gets mercy. Wow. That's what we have in the Lord. He is our great reward. He is a God who is kind. He is a gift to all of us here today. He gives us grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Therefore, we give Him thanks. Amen? Merci. Now let's look at our last point this morning. Pray a prayer of supplication to God. Supplication's a funky word, and I had to kind of look it up, like, really, what is it? And it really is like asking earnestly, almost like a begging. Asking earnestly, getting on your knees, really asking. He is the God that supplies needs. Don't forget that. And truly, David teaches us to pray a prayer of supplication because He's the one that cares for the needs of His people, but you have to ask. Amen? You have to remember to pray to Him. You have to remember, look And David even says here, Lord, I'm poor, I'm needy, I need you to guard my life, I need you to hear my cry for mercy, mercy. I need you to hear my prayer, teach me your ways, Lord, turn to me, have mercy on me, because I need a sign of your goodness. I think what David's saying is, why don't you just show me you care? Have you ever had that thought? Show me you care, Lord. Show me you're there. But we have a God that at any time we can cry out to him, Lord, I need you now. He's the God that's in the business of meeting needs. He never quit on that part of his job. He's in the business of meeting needs and caring for us. So, truly, we have to be the people that remember to ask earnestly. He's proven alone by himself time and time again. He's big enough to meet the needs of his people. Do you agree? He's big enough. It's his pleasure in his heart to take our supplications, and God wants them. He wants to hear from his children. And some of us are afraid to take our needs to the Lord. Do you know who you are? Some of us think, he's got bigger things to deal with. I'm not worthy, whatever the deal might be. I doubt myself. I haven't talked to him before. Why would I start to him now? Have you ever gone through some of these vibes? I tell you, he wants to hear from you regardless. Get rid of all the other thoughts you have and just come to him. But he says, he's the one, he says in Scripture, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We are to pray a prayer of earnestly seeking him. So as we close this morning, I wanted to end James 5:16. That's so funny, hon, that you were saying, why just choose one psalm? I could see. It is so hard. Why would you pick just one? But now I'm going to pick James, because James is really good in summing up here. When it comes to prayer, and I just had my spot marked and I just lost it. Here we go. James 5:16 says this, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So as we close this morning, I wanted to mention this story that a pastor in Texas said. And he says, when a believing person prays, great things happen. Do you believe that? Imagine yourself, he says, in a dark room. Windows are closed, curtains are drawn, shutters are shut. Sounds like my condo. But I love nightlights. Anybody here love nightlights? I could buy so many nightlights, I just can't stop myself sometimes. And I point them in different directions, and sometimes I'll change. I'll be like, yeah, I think I'd like to look at more of the kitchen. No, maybe I'll put it a little more midway. I love nightlights. But when I go to bed, I want it dark. But I'll tell you, sometimes you can't see where you're going in the dark, right? So curtains drawn, shutters shut. In the darkness, it's hard to believe there's any daylight beyond the drapes. So this pastor says, so you grope around and you try to feel your way across the floor. You take a step, disoriented and unsure where you're headed. Progress is slow and the journey can be painful. Stubbed toes, bruised shins, broken vases. It's hard to walk in a dark place. I just skid my knee in a dark room the other day. I'm still paying the price because I didn't see where I was going. But harder still, he says, to walk in a dark world. But many try to. And as a result, many are wounded in the effort, tripping over problems, bumping into one another in the shadows, ramming into walls. But occasionally, one of us makes a discovery. Reaching through the blackness, a hand finds curtains. And then a hand might also feel a window latch. Hey, everybody, the walls have windows. The drapes are pulled back and the windows are open. Sun suddenly floods into the room. What was dark is now bright. What was opaque is now clear. What was stale is now fresh. With the light comes a peace, a power, a desire to move closer into the light, and confidence to step towards it because you can see. Our timid steps are replaced by a certainty to our walk, a certainty to move through the corridors of life. And not only that, opening one window after another to illuminate. What a difference. And all it took was one small gesture of opening curtains and raising the window. He says this, Prayer does the same thing for God's people. Prayer does the same thing. Prayer is the window that God has placed in the walls of this world. Leave it shut, and the world is a cold, dark house. But he says, but throw back the curtains and see his light. Open the window and hear his voice. Open the window of prayer and invoke the presence of God in your world. When we had our curtains drawn in New York City, I couldn't tell if it was big, big, big curtains. I couldn't tell if it was 4 in the morning, 4 p.m., 10 a.m. I had no clue. One day we slept until 10 something. I thought it was like 7. But when we opened up those curtains, we could see, we could hear, we could experience. We need to remember this day to pray. Pray prayers, acts of warfare, amen. Adoration, hallelujah. Confession, thank you, God. Thankfulness and earnestly asking and supplication. Shall we stand and pray? Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you and give you honor. We do adore you, Lord. And we confess our sins to you more and more, Father, and we'll get more and more comfortable doing that. Calling them out so that it's the first day of the last day of that sin. And Father, we thank you for all that you've given us. All this beautiful existence that we have is because of you. And not only that, Lord, but we will never stop earnestly seeking you and asking you for more. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Bless your people this day as we continue to work on our prayer life. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes, let me just finish with a quick little story. My company gives us a quick moment to go into the company store. I think it was on Wednesday. The discounts are amazing. Nail polish for $1. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm not into all the fragrance and beauty stuff. She loves that. All the colognes, all the cleansers, and all this stuff that Chanel puts on. But we got invited to go down into the staff store. And I said, what would you like, babe? And you know what she told me? I want it all. Never stop seeking God for all, amen? He has so much for you. You can want it all in him. And he's the God that's here to give, amen? Because he gives the most, isn't that true? So whatever you have in the Lord, want more, amen? And want more for your families. Want more for your relationships. Want more for your loved ones. Amen. Want it all in God. All right, let's spend some time together. We'll see what we have over there. Honey, if you want it all, it's all in that room too, okay?